Chapter 2. Ambition, Made in Iron. Ezekar dug another fistful of dirt and dragged his body across the scorched earth of the outpost. Razor wire tore the rubber seal around his left arm and ripped small iron-grey grooves into the sea-green of his warplate. He was tangled in the wire, its barbs digging in, finding purchase, relentlessly cutting, slowly squeezing the life from him, like a python constricting about its victim. He heard them coming, battering through stacked munitions crates, blades soaring and growling as they took the makeshift palisades apart. Still, Ezekar crawled, and felt the dirt intruding through a split in his gauntlet. He'd lost a finger somewhere, perhaps to a bolt round, he couldn't remember. He'd lost his legs, too, or at least everything that mattered, below the knee. His ragged, bloody stumps, lathered in machine oil and mud, were little use in terms of forward momentum. The edges of twisted metal, where his armour had been roughly severed, snared on the wire, forcing a grimace as the barbs found flesh. Ezekar would have laughed at their temerity had he not been dying. Perhaps he should laugh anyway. Meet his killers with baffling good humour. They would hate that, those cold bastards. They couldn't understand that. The war, their losses, had put it beyond them. An explosion sounded, muffled by the growing fog of smoke. Distance, or his failing auditory senses, Ezekar could not say for certain. He knew it meant they were in, beyond the cordon he and his brothers had fought so hard to hold. The attack had come fast and during night hours. The lack of light had proven no impediment to the efficacy of the warriors on either side, but it had masked the approach of those in black power armour to an extent, and turned obvious interlopers into silhouettes that matched the form of allies. It had provided a second's grace for the attackers, and a legionary could accomplish much in even so short a span of time. He and his brothers had been slow, not by any ordinary standards, of course, but the ones that mattered, the standards that would be met and superseded by their enemies. It had begun in fire. A sprawling line of flame had sprung up in the north like a ragged flickering grin where the commercia used to be. Ezekar and his brothers had flattened it during daylight hours with launched ordnance from a battery of Medusas before the Vindicator tanks had moved in with dozer blades to shovel away the rubble and the bodies. It had taken several hours. Labour gangs had been formed from the local populace. After landfall and less than an hour of conflict, in which the world's defence forces had been critically diminished in both size and morale, the remaining 16 native garrisons had reneged their oaths to Terra and sworn to the Warmaster, though he was far away in another part of the segmentum. Prefabricated watchtowers had been raised up like a row of spears. Communal halls and agrihabs had been emptied, fortified, and turned into munition stores. What could not be housed inside was piled and stacked and lashed together in the municipal square, where a statue of the Lord Governor lay headless, like its namesake, and reduced to rubble beneath the Vindicator's tracks. This they had done swiftly, efficiently, brutally, but without needless bloodshed, until a supply dump the size of several city blocks had been established. This had been designated Secundus. Ezekar also knew of Tertius and Primus. The initial stages of the invasion had proceeded according to plan. In fact, they had exceeded expectations. That had been then. Now he crawled, the irony not lost on him that these were his brother's defences that had bled him almost to the bone. Through a rapidly dispersed smoke cloud, he saw a sea-green gauntlet and thought reinforcements had come. He reached for it, though the act of doing so provoked agony as the wire pulled taut. The gauntlet yielded instantly to his grasp, and he realised it was no longer attached to its owner. A bloody stump of wrist poked out the end, and Ezekar dropped it in disgust. He drew a rattling breath, still trying to worm out from under the razor wire, and felt his throat burn. Then it tightened. Choke gas. His helm rebreather must be broken. He tried to move and felt a cracked retinal lens fall out in pieces. The world grew brighter, more painful in one eye. Yes, definitely broken. He was about to reach for the gorget seal to disengage his helm when a shadow fell across him. The scent of oil and soot stung his nose. He looked up to see an armoured foot. It had splayed metal toes and gave off a low machine grind, a bionic. It slammed down on his outstretched hand, breaking two of his remaining fingers. Ezekar resisted the urge to cry out. He did manage to turn, craning his neck so he could see his attacker. A burning red bionic eye, set in a black war helm, glared down. A heavy hammer crackled in the warrior's clenched fist. He almost trembled with repressed anger. The fist, too, was a bionic.
"You should watch that anger," said Ezekar,
and went for his holstered pistol with his other hand.
"It will get you..."
Phrenix lifted his hammer. A long strand of congealed blood and matter stretched from the ruddy head to the ruin of the legionary's helm. His blow had split ceramite and crushed most of the skull beneath. Red bone chips stuck up out of a growing pool of blood. Phrenix, of Clan Sargor and the Iron Tenth, intensified the Thunderhammer's energy field to burn off the stuck-on gore. The dead legionary blinked. A gurgle of breath escaped his throat, foaming on his bottom lip. Phrenix scowled. His bionic foot twitched reflexively and broke the other bones in the legionary's hand. He hefted his hammer, annoyed that he had only just cleansed it.
"Death to all traitors," he said,
part machine rasp, all human hostility.
"In the name of Shadrach Medjuson."
The hammer fell again. They knew his name. That was good. It made him a target, but notoriety had its advantages. So did immortality, for hadn't his enemies already killed him more than once? At Arasak? At Dwell? Yet here he was, alive, fighting, the most pernicious of thorns. It hadn't been easy convincing the clan fathers and gathering the other captains, but successive victories could be used as currency when trying to convince recalcitrant allies. As he stood surveying the battlefield they had made of Hamart III, Shadrach Medjuson knew he would need more for what was ahead. This was but the beginning. He had a plan. It was burning, the outpost. Its defences had been overrun. Watchtowers were aflame, barricades toppled. Warriors in the soot black of the Iron Tenth ran amok. Ravens, wearing even darker black, ranged around the periphery. He saw few of them. Such was their creed of war: silence, stealth, sabotage. Fewer still were the drakes, bellicose and aggressive in their scale-green armour. They fought stolidly, without fear. Like the others, they had little left to lose. But the prize here was worth the fight. The supplies they had taken would be useful. They would also need to be cached when this was over, split up, divided, and then hidden in smaller ammo dumps. Tanks, walkers, heavy munitions, explosives, even medical supplies. The Sons of Horus had provided a wide array of materiel. It would prove useful. Had he been of a mind, Medjuson might have felt gratitude to the Sons of Horus for that. Hatred overrode it, and the gnawing ache of an unsatisfied desire for revenge. His fist clenched unconsciously. It had been doing that a lot lately. An augmetic, of decent quality and grafted well on account of Gorgonson's surgeries. It still itched, but then so did a lot of things. 16 separate cells had come together for this raid. After what had happened at Oakweth, that hadn't been easy. But it had demonstrated what they could do when allied together and were utilising the strengths of three legions, not just one. 2 days' preparation had necessitated some risk. 2 days to communicate a plan and coordinate the strike. Iron Hands were naturally well organised, but the few Salamanders and Raven Guard amongst the Iron Tenth's ranks had adapted well to the methodology of the Majority Legion, as well as contributing strategies of their own. It was, as it had been said at Iteria, a hybridization of tactics had garnered success. Risk bred greater risk, of course. A time fast approached when that growing degree of risk would become unpalatable to some. Medjuson knew this. It was part of the reason he went for the supply dump. Confidence was a commodity, too. He would need to spend all they had in supply for what came after Hamart. Some of the clan fathers, those who had assumed de facto positions vacated by the slain Vercule, Lorison, Colver, and Mac, had proven resistant. But Medjuson felt sure logic would override the desire for self-preservation. If the Iron Tenth were to move forward, it would have to. From the ashes of Istvan, they would have to. The Voxbeat crackled in Medjuson's ear, and he attended to it at once. He barely heard it over his own thoughts and the armoured battle tank waiting nearby for his order. "Are we finished here?" he asked the voice on the other end of the link.
"A few remain, but they are beaten, broken."
"Every one of them, Phrenix. No survivors, no prisoners. Round them up, kill them. Don't contact me again until this is done." Medjuson severed the link and exhaled a long, calming breath.
"I recognize that volatility," said Org,
standing at the war leader's side.
"Do you, Freighter? I see it in every loyal brother on this field."
He turned to one of his council.
"What say you, Neuros?"
The salamander had his helm in the crook of his arm. Strands of his vibrant red hair, though partly slicked to his scalp with sweat, whipped about in the wind like flickering tongues of flame. He still had the Volkite caliver he had stolen from the 16th Legion warship, though Neuros had since improved upon its design and wrought an aesthetic more in keeping with his culture. A dragon head, baring its fangs, snarled at the weapon's mouth. Neuros mirrored it. He grinned, his black leathery skin pulling at the corners of his mouth, exposing alabaster-white teeth.
"Aye, it eats the blood, I'd say."
His gaze strayed northwards, fixed upon a steadily rising conflagration.
"Let the curse burn. Every damned one of them."
Medjuson addressed the others. "Lumac? Mikosa?" The former, the captain of Clan Averni, nodded.
"Oh, I'm with the Drake. Fire is the only way to be sure."
Mikosa gave a rare bellicose chuckle, confirming his position.
"No need to ask, Dalkoth, I think," said the captain of Clan Sorgol,
his gaze moving to the silent figure of the Raven Guard. The son of Korax stood slightly apart from the rest, as was his way, a wraith in shadow black, deadly and invisible when he wanted to be. He tightened a gauntleted fist around his sheathed axe, aching to unleash it.
"It's a good victory," said Org,
placing his hand on Medjuson's armoured shoulder. Though the ministrations of the Mechanicum on Lyax had left him more flesh-spare than ever, Org still retained his old sense of camaraderie. He rarely took off his helm anymore, and beneath his armour he was more metal than man. It didn't matter. The flesh might be weak, but brotherhood was not. Medjuson nodded.
"And the supplies will prove useful, though I confess I think I like more the idea of denying them to the enemy than taking them ourselves."
"Surely you don't favour destroying the cash out of hand," said Org.
Mikosa and Lumac shared a furtive smile, though Medjuson saw it. He smiled too, inwardly, but was reminded how far estranged his hand-elect was from his inner circle. He hadn't intended it that way, but Org's debilitating injuries after Oquith had forced changes that had knitted well in his absence. Medjuson was reluctant to do anything that would jeopardise that, especially as they had finally begun to get somewhere. "Perhaps we can graft heads after all," he mused.
"I was tempted," Medjuson admitted, "but pragmatism won out in the end. Besides," he added, "we need them."
"I am relieved to hear it," said Org.
Medjuson felt the Iron Father's gaze upon him. Of the six of them, Org was the only one still wearing his war helm.
"Something amiss, Freighter?" he asked.
"You have blood on your face," Org replied.
"Don't worry," Medjuson replied, replacing his helm. "None of it is mine."
Lumac laughed, shouldering a depowered Medjuson Svihander.
"You should name that blid," said Neuros.
"It has a name," Lumac replied. "Sword."
"No, a better name. A war name."
"How did you even know I was hefting it?"
Neuros stood a few paces ahead of the two Iron Hands captains. His grin broadened, a dragon's smile.
"I heard it scrape your guard. The metal is thrice by thrice folded. It's an alloy, hand-worked, a smith's work, well-forged. All of that together with the inscription carved into the blade provokes a particular resonance when struck just so.
Are you showing off, Neuros? Asked Medjuson. The salamander held up his thumb and forefinger, pinched a half-inch apart.
Only a little. What about Cleave?
He asked Lumac. The Averni paused a beat to consider it.
Rather blunt, isn't it?
Precisely the opposite.
A vox crackle in Medjuson's ear stalled any further talk, his raised hand commanding silence.
Understood,
he said after a few seconds and cut the link.
Phrenix,
asked Makosa, all business. Medjuson nodded.
It's done.
He opened the vox link again, but not to raise Phrenix.
Ironwrought Bereg, he said. The traitors are dead. Supplies are secure. Level the rest of it.
From the south, a kilometre behind their position, came the grind of tracks and throaty growl of labouring engines. After a few minutes, the engine growl changed to a pneumatic throb. A pregnant pause of another 3 seconds passed before the air shrieked with the violent discharge of ordnance. A rain of siege mortar shells, little more than vapour-wreathed masses scoring through the night, arced overhead. The 6 legionaries watched the shells' parabolas take them down into the heart of the supply dump, now divested of its riches and little more than half-standing prefab structures and failed improvised defence lines. The siege shells broke upon the camp in successive destructive impacts. After 3 chained barrages, not much more remained of the outpost than a crater. Smoke reached skywards, limned orange by the fires cropping up sporadically throughout the camp's devastated footprint. It had been utterly flattened. Shadrach Medjuson commended Bereg on the execution of his task before hailing the battle group.
All right, then,
he said, deliberately informal.
Well fought, brothers. Now we take the last one. Raise the storm.
The Land Raider Proteus, engines idling, began to stir. The others donned their war helms as the entry ramp slammed down.
Let's not keep our traitorous cousins waiting, said Medjuson, grimly.
They have had enough borrowed time already.
Nothing lives. Nothing lives,
echoed the others, and mounted up. Nature makes a body recoil when struck. The instinct is one of preservation, a desire to minimise further harm. Though transhuman and ostensibly beyond such reactions, the Sons of Horus behaved in this manner after the first 2 camps had been put to the torch by Medjuson and his warriors. The war leader had been ruthless. Moreover, his name was bellowed from every vox horn and uttered as every battle cry. They chanted it, the Iron Sons of Medusa. So did the Drakes. Only the Raven Guard held their tongues, but then silence was their way, and had been perfectly alloyed to a more brutish methodology. The defenders of the final camp retreated, a splayed hand retracting into a bunched fist, a predictable reaction. Some of Hamart's oath-sworn defectors turned again to serve their own ends, fleeing into the night. Medjuson ignored them. They would be hunted down eventually, executed for swearing allegiance to traitors. But for now, he reserved all of his ire for the Sons of Horus. The first ranks of the defenders went down like chaff. Native soldiery, human, armed with well-maintained las carbines and heavy autocannons, decently trained, defectors. They only lasted minutes against Medjuson's determined assault. He had crafted a bludgeon to smash his way in from the northern side of the camp, a solid phalanx. Larger than the others, the final camp had a greater concentration of men and materiel. Heavy storage crates rose in metal ziggurats, forming entire sloped ranges of cased bullets and arms. Ranks of heavier munitions, mainly missiles and bombs, walled off entire sections of the camp. Stacks of Promethean drums sat opposite, partly obscured by flame-retardant tarps. Freight haulers stood in loose formation, paused in the act of disgorging further supplies. Unmanned tanks and fighters waited idly in open-fronted hangars. Tents groaned with ration packs and medical supplies. Bunkers, turrets, and towers warded the main approaches. A large municipal structure dominated the camp's core, appended by several permanent gun emplacements. Jebez Org led them in, a cohort of Medusan immortals surrounding him with breacher shields and an implacable refusal to die.
"Heavy turret on the left,"
he said, with all the emotion of a man pointing out the state of the weather. A storm hit the turret, an up-armoured, blocky dome of riveted metal, its autocannon frantically chugging out shells. It disappeared as a volley of melter beams struck it. Only smoking slag remained, and the iron hands pushed on. The defenders had had the presence of mind to erect barricades, but they were hastily constructed. Bodies in the besmirched uniforms of Hamart's local soldiery hung across parted razor wire, shredded sandbag emplacements and broken steel redoubts. Hulking iron hands in black armour clambered through the breach, desperate shots pranging off battered but unbreakable warplate. Successive layers of defences were met and then overcome, each one more fragile than the last. "Mikosa," said Medusan via the vox. He adopted a refused position behind Org's mailed fist of immortals. The core of Medusan's troops were Iron Tenth, all veterans, though a handful of salamanders in cataphracty pattern warplate bulked them out and added sheer force if it became needed. It hadn't been. Not yet.
"Right flank secure,"
the captain of Clan Sorgul replied a moment later.
"No casualties. Pressing on."
The tactical display in Medusan's helm confirmed it. Mikosa had made significant gains. Medusan turned to the warrior at his shoulder, who bore the caduceus of the apothecarian on his armour.
"It seems you'll have precious little to occupy you when this is done, brother."
Gorgonson gave a grunt of acknowledgement.
"It's not done yet, Shadrach."
Medusan's squads waded through a hail of lasbeams, Org's immortals bearing the brunt of it.
"Feels no worse than a heavy rain, eh, Goran?"
The defenders had set up a firing line, three ranks thick. Bright red beams stabbed out of the dark.
"Not been out in many storms, have you, Shadrach?"
the apothecary replied. Medusan laughed, a thunderous bellow that drowned out the whine of enemy fire.
"I have walked the storm, as have you, brother, on Terra."
Explosions stitched across the firing line and tore it apart.
"Then it is your memory that's at fault, I see,"
said Gorgonson, watching the heavily armoured salamander responsible for the recent destruction auto-load his shoulder-mounted cyclone launchers and move on.
"Alas, I have no cure for that."
Another hearty laugh echoed across the battlefield.
"Fair enough,"
Medusan conceded.
"But let's get through these wretches and to the real enemy. Only cowards hide behind the weak."
He raised Lumak, who had met heavier resistance on the left but was maintaining a steady advance. Numerous fires, reaching high above a ring of gutted watchtowers to the south, confirmed Neuros had made significant inroads. The bulk of the infantry had been drawn here. It had been the first point of ingress, and the loudest. It had drawn a crowd. Now that crowd burned.
"Neuros," voxed Medusan, "have you sated your anger yet?"
"Only warming up, war leader."
Medusan grinned behind his faceplate.
"For a Nocturnian, you have a passable wit," he said.
"And these coming from an Iron Hand,"
Neuros replied, the roar of flamers in the background.
"I don't know if I should take that as an insult."
"Tell me you're making progress and you can take it any way you'd like."
"We are mopping up here. Nothing left but charred corpses. Even their bones are ash."
"Any sign of the 16th?
"Not even their treacherous stench, war leader."
Medusan frowned. The northern defences had collapsed. Mikosa and Lumak drove up the east and west, and Neuros had all but purged the south and put it to flame.
"They are gathering their forces, whatever remains," he said to the salamander. "Surrounded, they can't win this, but they will try to hurt us."
"I agree, war leader. A cautious approach is called for."
"Leave no stone unburned, Neuros. Scorch the earth, then move to converge with Captain Mikosa."
The salamander signalled an affirmative and then went about his orders. Resistance from the north had ebbed to a trickle. Enemy fighters were being rounded up and executed. Even the ones who surrendered got no quarter from the vengeful Iron Tenth. A pair of large bunkers exploded in quick succession. Makeshift ablative armour bent and flew outwards. Fire and smoke spilled through their view slits. Crack charges, laid by Org's immortals, had blown them wide open. Frag grenades, tossed into the breach, made sure they were clear.
"The core is open, war leader,"
said Org over the vox, his back to Medjuson, as he consolidated the position just won by the immortals. Enemy fire still came in at them, but it was weak and desultory. A missile salvo struck nearby, but did little more than kick up dirt and smoke.
"Confirmed, Org. We shall join you at the tip of the spear momentarily."
He switched channels to his flanks. "Mikosa, Lumak." Both enemy flanks had capitulated to the intense pressure. The Iron Hands captains had begun an advance on the core. With Neuros also coming from the south, they had the Sons of Horus surrounded.
"All forces converge on the municipal structure. We're ending this."
The traitors had mined the main approach to the municipal structure. A tectonic detonation rippled outwards from a concealed trigger plate as a bank of incendiaries went up, unleashing a ferocious firestorm. Several Medusan immortals fulfilled their final oaths and died in the blast. One of the cataphracti armoured drakes fell too. The losses stung, but Medusan remained undaunted. He took the lead now, Org and Gorgonson at his side. If his reputation was to mean anything, he had to be in the front line when they met the traitors. Medusan drew and raised his gladius. An old blade, as old as the Legion. It had been forged from the hardest Albion steel. Medusan used it as a talisman. Through the smoke and dying flames, the Iron Tenth pressed the advance. A narrow gallery gave way to a much wider and longer hall. The allies spread out, moving slowly and cautiously, the cavernous chamber stretching before them. Gaps in the roof, opened by stray ordnance, let in hazy shafts of half-light that picked out columnar statues, recently defaced. Dawn approached, slowly shedding light on more storage crates, stacked munitions, and the full extent of the carnage. Cracked flagstones echoed to the thud of armoured footfalls. Dust motes lingered like unquiet spirits. An odd silence pervaded after the din of heavy explosives had ceased echoing. A vox crackle, augmented by a loud hailer, broke the false peace and brought the Iron Tenth to a halt. A voice rang out, thickly accented Chthonian, a gutter tongue used by gangsters and thieves.
"Welcome, cousins," it said. "Surrounded, no quarter given. I think most of you know what that feels like. Now so do we."
Several requests for permission to engage lit up on the Medusan's helm display. He denied every one, even Lumax. The mind entrance had been a salutary lesson he did not intend to ignore.
"My name is Carbron Vilks," said the traitor. "I fought at Isfem V. So did most of the men here. You killed many of my brothers during that fight, though you had the worst of it. Know that we are glad to join them. Know that we are not so blind as to let an enemy slip a blade into our backs. Come and die with us if you're ready. We are."
A sword scraped from Carbron Velx's scabbard, loud across the vox.
"Come and die with honour if you—"
A chain of small explosions erupted in the ceiling above, where the silhouettes of the traitors were lurking. Two ragged lines ran from corner to corner. A few looked up, Velks among them, at the hefty slabs of falling masonry from the roof. Dust and grit rained down, covering the traitors in filth, fouling Auspex and sensors. A flock of warriors in shadow black descended with it, their blades dulled so as not to reflect the light, filled with murderous intent. A shout echoed in the traitor ranks, Velks's attempt to hold on to order. It fled almost as soon as Dalkoth and his raven guard were amongst them.
"Forward now!"
roared Medusan, and took up a run. So did his brothers. The hulking cataphracti and the immortals, burdened by their breacher shields, fell behind. The throaty burr of chainswords led them on, though. They had but to follow it. A deadly fusillade of heavy lasfire cut angry streaks through the gloom as a battery of static rapier laser destroyers opened up. Its efficacy diminished almost immediately as Dalkoth's warriors saw to the heavy cannons. Secondary explosions threw off sporadic flares of light from detonating crack charges. 8 Iron Hands had fallen in the first round of shots. If not for the Raven Guard, it would have been more. Medjuson ran the 100 meters from the chamber entrance to his enemies in seconds. The last few he leapt, launching himself into a warrior in sea-green armour, plunging his sword into the gorget and out the other side. He wrenched it loose, jerking the blade so that it almost took off the cur's head. Less than a second later, Org had piled in. The rest of the charging Iron Hands came with him. Org's power axe took off a traitor's arm. A dead finger tightened around the trigger of the legionary's bolt gun as it fell, releasing a burst that raked a second traitor before Org finished him with a blow that nearly split his torso down the sternum. He took a blow against his arm and let the chain teeth snag against the metal before firing his pistol into his opponent's face. Skirmishes erupted across the width of the hall as warriors from both sides engaged. Brief firearm bursts accompanied the regular clash of close combat weapons as a vicious melee unfolded. The rapiers were all but silenced now, their crewmen seeing the futility of their old orders and drawing pistols and combat blades by way of improvisation. They were swept up by the immortals, who crushed them with their breacher shields. Dalkoth killed the leader. Medjuson had been battering away to him when a shadow descended from on high. Velks had offered up a war shout, raising his chainblade in salute. It had ended half-finished, his words trapped on a dead tongue inside a head separated from its host body. The sons of Horus had fought on to a man. Of course they had. They were traitors, but still Legiones Astartes. Horus had sown resilience into their ranks, as well as misguided devotion and treachery. The fight reached its death throes soon enough. A lone traitor, his left arm hung by a thread of sinew, his breastplate gouged and bleeding black, faced off against a pair of Raven Guard.
"Stand aside!"
Dalkoth commanded, in that harsh and eerie way of his. The two warriors did as bidden, withdrawing their blades held up protectively. The Sons of Horus legionary had armed himself with a saw-toothed spatha. It was red and dripping.
"You wish to add to my tally?"
breathed the renegade, his voice ragged and edgy. He swiveled the blade around in his hand, a needless half-circle flourish. Dalkoth threw his tomahawk axe. He hissed,
"No."
The two dark feathers protruding from the haft trembled a little as the weapon shivered, and the blade embedded itself in the traitor's skull. Medjuson retrieved Dalkoth's axe for him, stooping to wrench it noisily from the corpse.
"Fine throw," he said,
handing the weapon back to its owner. Dalkoth gave a slight nod as he took the axe, depowering it before he sheathed the blade again.
"And a timely intervention also,"
said Org, standing straight with the pommel of his own longer axe firmly planted in the ground.
"As I said, a hybridization of tactics."
Org smiled at the Raven Guard captain.
"That you did, brother."
Medjuson nodded, pleased with everything they had wrought. He raised his voice and then his Albion sword.
"Another victory! Another thorn for Horus and his lackeys to consider!"
"Medjuson!"
A solitary cry rang out a moment later.
"Medjuson!"
came the echo of several more voices.
"Medjuson!"
they chanted over and again, the entire chamber erupting in affirmation. Their saviour kept his sword aloft and revelled in the glory. It took several hours to denude the last camp of everything of use that could reasonably be carried. The Iron Tenth and their allies moved quickly. They would need to disband soon, scatter and then regroup again only when it had been deemed safe. Much depleted supplies were gratefully replenished, the surplus designated to various hidden caches known only to certain captains and Iron Fathers. Medjuson had since left Hamart III and returned to the Iron Heart, his flagship. He was in the midst of accounting exactly how successful the raid had been when he heard footsteps at the door to his quarters.
Yes, he said, looking up as the door opened.
Oh, Jebez, it's you. Jebez Org framed a deep bow, prompting a curt and rueful laugh from his war leader. Such deference, said Medjuson. I'm no king, brother.
Forgive me, said Org. A mild jest. You appeared to revel in the role.
Medjuson returned to the reports he had laid out in front of him. He worked at a simple scribe's desk and sat upon a reinforced stool.
Hardly, brother.
He smiled and gave Org a half glance.
I'm busy here with the paperwork.
Org laughed and joined him. Medjuson watched the Iron Father keenly as he absorbed the supply data.
An impressive amount of plunder,
he conceded, and met the war leader's gaze. Medjuson held it for a few seconds.
What are you looking for?
Asked Org, unflinching. Medjuson shrugged, returning to his reports.
You look strong, Jebez, and you fought well.
Is that surprising?
No, but you were near broken after Oakwith. I'm impressed with your recovery, that is all.
Then I am pleased to meet with your approval. Perhaps you will deign to share with me your plans. My mind is also fully recovered.
All in good time, Jebez. For now, let us make a good account of our new supplies.
Of course,
Org replied, his voice neutral.
I might then have news that will interest you.
He laid a hololith orb in front of Medjuson, who frowned as he picked it up.
What is this?
Org pressed the activation stud, and a galactic map shimmered into life, projected from the orb, bathing the room and its occupants in a cone of grainy green light.
A map, he said. Routes of ships, an enemy flotilla, some supply ships, some patrols. It was found inside a lock chest in an underground vault. Seal had to be burned off.
Medjuson looked askance at Org, his interest piqued.
Anything else in there?
Just this. I broke the security cipher myself. It took a little time, hence why I am only coming to you with this now.
Gazing at the translucent image, Medjuson rubbed thoughtfully at his chin.
Is it verified?
As far as it can be, replied Org. It's authentic.
Medjuson regarded the image for a few more seconds before deactivating the device. Then he got to his feet.
We have to act on this, now.
Org frowned, unable to hide his alarm.
Act how, exactly?
We take the flotilla. Gut it. It'll hurt them. It'll hurt him.
The entire flotilla?
What else?
I thought the information could be used to avoid the larger patrols, or perhaps take a single ship. One of the stragglers. We hit it hard, then retreat like ghosts into the void.
Medjuson scoffed.
You sound like Dalkoth.
Isn't he one of your council?
Yes, I only meant...
Adapting our tactics has been working, Shadrach. This...
Org gestured to the empty space where the image had been.
This is beyond ambitious.
It is. Which is why I need you to summon the other leaders. The de facto clan fathers, the Iron Fathers, captains, everyone in our ambit.
For what exactly?
To muster. For an attack,
said Medjuson, an angry scowl creeping onto his face.
Is my every order to be questioned by my hand-elect? Am I not war leader? One voice, one purpose, it has been agreed.
Org held up his hands, contrite.
I apologize, war leader. You are right, of course. It shall be done at once.
Org turned, about to leave when Medjuson spoke.
Jebez, I'm sorry. I misspoke. Perhaps I have been spending too much time with Lumac. His curt temper must be rubbing off on me. Please, brother.
Understood, said Org.
He gave Medjuson a weak smile.
All is well, war leader. All is well. One voice, one purpose. You have guided us to glory. Please, do not concern yourself. I will see it done.
He left, and Medjuson watched him go.
Recent events had taken a toll, he knew, and attacking the flotilla would not be easy, nor garnering support for the endeavour.
But if it came at the cost of Org's friendship...
Damn it,
he muttered, and returned to his reports.